Hi, this is Michael Harlan Turkel, and you're listening to The Food Scene on Heritage Radio Network. I'd like to thank my sponsor today, Acme Smoked Fish, located in Greenpoint, Brooklyn. Acme has been a mainstay in New York's culinary landscape for over 55 years. Using an old-world recipes, Acme produces the finest smoked salmon, whitefish, sable that discerning palates demand for. More information can be found on Acme and Blue Hill Bay or Ruby Bay products on www.acmesmokedfish.com. I am very excited to have two wonderful ladies of Food and Wine, Jessica Rahm, the style editor, and Frederica Huan, the director of photography. Did I say that right? Did I do a decent job with that?
That was decent.
Excellent, excellent. It was decent. Not great, but decent.
It was so, very good.
Yeah, it was my first attempt. I'll keep on practicing that. But we're here today to talk about the process of a photo shoot, of styling the photo shoot, of looking at the location, seeing what props. Because I don't think, even though we've had food photographers and stylists on past shows separate, I don't think we've talked about what's encompassed a whole page in a magazine. And I'm very excited to talk to you too about that. Jessica Rahm, you used to work for Elle Decor as a style editor.
Yeah.
Excellent. And that encompassed props and, you know, from hair to makeup, all that stuff that gets put pretty on a page.
Yeah, I was doing there. I was sort of covering more interiors and sort of news, what was happening in the restaurant and hotel design scene, shopping and things like that.
Excellent. And Frederica, as director of photography, tell us all the things. It's almost easier as a process of elimination. Tell us all the things that you don't do. But tell us all the things that you do. Do you shoot? Do you edit? Do you hire the photographers?
As of very recently, I do all of the above. I mean, the shooting myself, I used to be a photographer 15 years ago.
You still are a photographer.
Now I'm still a photographer. Once a photographer, always a photographer.
Yes, yes.
But I do all of that.
Yeah.
For the magazine.
Yeah, that must be a huge business card to be able to write all that down.
Well, as the director of photography of Food and Wine, you assign all the photography, and I oversee all of the visual content that's coming in to the brand, basically. Well, it's very much producing the shoots beforehand and then editing it when it comes in, and it's, you know, we could go into
detail. Oh yeah, no, we should, and we can use a great prime example. And selfishly, I'm also a get to mention my girlfriend's story that she wrote for Scribe Winery out in Napa, correct?
Sonoma.
Yeah. Okay, I mean, it was a 50% chance.
Yeah.
So out in Sonoma, Andrew Mariani has this beautiful hacienda that he has been producing wine in and has friends over, has parties, you know, these very...
Ragers.
Ragers. Yeah, put that right in quotes. Actual ragers. At this rundown little space that is... just epitomizes the vibe and energy that his brand and he himself like emits. Mm-hmm. Can you tell me about what your day, because how many days did you spend on that shoot?
We actually, it was the good thing about that shoot, and I think that what makes it any shoot successful is actually to have a little bit more time and have the ability to have the process kind of unfold organically, and that's a luxury that you don't often
yeah,
have that.
So
and
often you're dropped in on location in the blind with maybe a couple scouting pictures.
Yes, exactly. I mean, we usually hit the ground running most of the time. Even if we have more time, we just want to start shooting. That's kind of the modus operandi. But I think we had 3 days in this case, which was unusual, and we had the one keyword that we came out there with that was sort of we start talking about this shoot, and we start to ask Dana what is in her mind and what, you know, what the editors see. There's sort of a process beforehand to get to the root of what makes this story particularly for our magazine, and what can we bring out from the people that are there, and what's the story? It's not just an entertaining story. It's not just food on the plate. It's not just what you're eating for dinner. It's something completely different. It's a lifestyle.
Yeah, and you want to see that life and that you know, vivid energy. And Jessica, when you arrive on a shoot like this too, being a style editor, in my head, and this can be completely wrong, you are also the makeup artist, the prop stylist. Not necessarily the artist.
Not the makeup artist.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But, you know, you deal with hair, makeup, clothes, props. do you just have a giant duffel bag full of stuff, or do you use what's on site?
Well, you know, half the time it's really about being over prepared, and
yeah.
That's how we try and go into these shoots, you know, making sure that if anything comes up, you know, someone shows up and it's a Christmas story and we happen to be shooting it in the middle of July, you know, and they're in a summer dress, you know, being ready to, you know, get them something else to wear,
yeah.
Or make them, you know, camera ready in whatever way possible.
So you're kind of like continuity in movies. You're trying to make sure everything will fit in the month and the year and, you know, in the area that it's shot in.
Yeah. So, and oftentimes, you know, we go into a location and it's someone's home and, you know, they want to use what they have in their home, but it doesn't necessarily fit visually with kind of what we're thinking. So we bring in, you know, a lot of extra things, and it's a lot of packing and shipping and,
yeah.
and hauling. And, you know, it ends up being quite a production.
What things did you bring to Scribe Winery that you were completely thankful for having brought?
Well, this was again, I think what made this story successful was, you know, the strength of, Andrew and his girlfriend Fanny, but the strength of their visual sense. You know, we talked extensively beforehand about brands they like to use, things they like to use on the table.
Yeah. And what kind of brands were those?
Well, we tried to stick very like California, because this was, yeah, a very sort of California feeling story, but like Heath Ceramics, which is a very classic, yeah, California tableware company. But we had talked Commune Design. They make these really beautiful linens. But we had talked with Andrew about the kinds of things that he likes, the stores that he likes to pull things from. They had, you know, some really great stuff that they had got at the Alameda Flea Market. You know, so it was really collaborative.
Yeah, because I love how looking and reading these stories, it's not just about, you know, what happened, but it's also kind of like a shopping guide. Mm-hmm. And that you end up coveting these things that you see on the pages too, but that they're almost natural in their setting.
That's the goal.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
I think you did also, it well. I mean, when Jessica has this amazing talent to actually be able to see what's there and pull in stuff that meshes with what's existing, which is very, it's hard. It's very hard to not overprop it,
yeah,
or underprop it, or make it feel like it sticks out like a sore thumb. I mean, it's all about kind of being attuned to what's going on in the space. And sometimes it has to be created from scratch, mm-hmm, and sometimes it has to be a mix. And, you know, it's just a matter of really thinking it through, like what's going to make it work so it doesn't feel fake. So,
yeah,
so it actually is a real experience.
So then in your collaborative process, are there situations where you want something shot and you don't think it fits? And how do you come to an agreement on that?
I think we have a very similar vision. Mm-hmm. I think that's what makes it so pleasurable to work together. And for you know, a lot of us that work continuously on shoots, I mean, even with the collab, you know, the food stylists and the photographers that we work with, we it's always collaborative, and it's always what makes it playful and fun, and that shows in how you tell a visual story.
Yeah.
And
go ahead.
You know, with Fred, you know, she sort of pulls back and looks at things, and if something's not working, you have to keep going at it. And
yeah,
you know, I may say, oh, I think this, all of this might work. We put it down, you know, we're trying to shoot it, it's not working, and you just have to kind of, you don't start again, but you need to do it over.
Figure out the right angle, yeah, to figure out that beautiful compromise. And speaking of that, you hire the photographers, and Cedric, mm-hmm, Angelus did just a wondrous job on that piece. How much do you hold his hand?
He's amazing, and I love to hold Cedric's hand at any chance I get. But I think that I'm pretty hands-on.
She cracks the whip.
Yeah.
She's not afraid to say.
Is it proverbial? Is it real whip?
I think it's a collaboration there too, but I think I don't think I would suggest something that wouldn't be in the photographer's mind. I think it's just like part of my job, and Steven's when he's on the shoot.
Steven Scoble.
Is the creative director. Is to really, I mean, apart from finding the images and making sure that we don't do something that's we've done a million times before because that's what we know. It's also to keep the timing of the shoot, which is huge. I mean, it's, you're sort of an ambassador for the magazine. You're taking care of the crew, I mean, which in this case was amazing. I mean, the crew and the subjects. Sometimes you go into situations with subjects and crew, and that's a lot of conflicts.
Yeah.
And you have to actually be a moderator.
Yeah, yeah.
And you have to move it forward. Like, you have to move the shoot forward so that you make sure that you get the shoot done. I mean, I've been to situations where you end up in the first day, sun goes down, and you realize we don't have the opening shot.
Yeah.
You're going to have to redo everything. And it was
you're within that timeline.
Oh, yeah. Well, it was just, we have to get up at 5 a.m. We have to recreate it. It was cowboys involved. I mean, I was like, you know, pulling cinder blocks around myself. I mean, it's just, there's a lot
May
that
I
goes
ask
into
what
a
shoot that was?
That was a long time ago. Yeah. It was actually with Adam Perry Lang. It was up in Colorado. And it was a great shoot, but it was just a lot of things. And things happen on shoots that is you have to be able to handle.
So what are a couple situations that have befalled the both of you that you've come up with, you know, last minute answers or solutions to? I mean, have there been
Should we really talk about that here?
Well, you don't really even have to talk about the specific, you know, shoot, but I mean, what are things that people should look out for when producing a shoot? Like the timeline, the fact that you only have one sunrise and one sunset, and how to be ready for those things. What are other visual elements that, you know, someone producing their first shoot should look out for?
I mean, you have to consider you have to consider light, because photography is all about light. So it's all about where's the light? When is a good time? When is enough time? You know, what do people need to get to be ready? It's all about, I mean, you're responsible for a crew of seven in most cases, plus the people that are involved. And I think everybody has to have accurate information. You have to think it through so that you actually go through it in your mind if you haven't done it before. But then the next time when you do it for real, you'll know by, I mean, you learn by mistakes too. Like, that's just an, I mean, you can't do that many mistakes on the job. So.
Yeah. Well, I think it's funny, you know, coming from a food background and obviously you writing about food and photographing food, that I don't know if people realize the amount of preparation that goes into producing a shoot or styling a shoot or actually getting all the right subjects in the right place at the right time. It is doing your prep work and having your mise en place, you know, in its place and just being able to capture that mise en scene afterwards. So, I mean, wholly commended to be able to pull that off.
I think, like in everything, like it is in everything, when the more organized you are, the more time you have to play. And I'm all about, I'm all about wanting to have time to play, because I mean, that's sort of what makes things fun. I mean, it's if you're just going through the motions, what's the point?
In that scribe shoot, you know, you were talking about, Michael was saying he loved the shot of them walking down the lane with the palm trees and their band playing, you know,
bass
that
guitar in hand,
you know, that was, you know, because we were organized and Cedric got the food shots and then we had time to capture and really, you know, document what was happening.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And exactly. I saw the shots of
brain.
Yeah. And I saw the shots of muscle diving and, you know, all these, what seemed like extraneous, but if I were on the shoot, I'd be like, okay, we're done. I want to go muscle diving. Was that the pleasure of being able to finish everything prior, or was that planned?
It was totally planned.
Yeah.
I mean, there wasn't enough wetsuits, otherwise I would have gone into. But I mean, it was planned, but it was also allotting a little extra time for sure. I mean, it was a luxury to have that time.
Excellent. We're going to take our little break now and then come back and talk about the pleasures of other shoots that Frederica and Jessica have styled and shot. And actually Frederica's story that she just recently shot for the magazine that should be coming out soon.
Spoiler alert.
Asteroid. You're listening to Michael Harlan Turkel, and this is The Food Scene on Heritage Radio Network. This is Michael Harlan Turkel, and we're returning to the food scene on Heritage Radio Network. Today I have Jessica Rahm, the style editor of Food & Wine magazine, and Frederica, S-T-J-A-R-N-E. That's your last name. Say
Juan.
It for us.
Juan.
Juan. Beautiful Swedish last name, but didn't want to butcher it yet again. The director of photography for Food & Wine magazine. And we were talking about producing photo shoots, but I want to talk about photographing for the magazine. And Frederica is saying that she was a photographer, but you know, once you are, you're always a photographer. Recently just did a shoot for the magazine. Are you allowed to reveal anything about that?
Sure.
Yeah, let's hear it.
What do you want to know?
I want to know where it was, subjects.
Okay, so we I think I took the plunge to sort of shoot a story for the magazine, which I had done, started doing some food for the website about a year ago, and sort of brushing up on digital skills, which I did fine art photography, is not digital at that time.
Oh, I was a Gumby Chromebake guy and cyanotype alternative processes.
Yeah, exactly. I know all those too, but it was a while ago. So, so the subject of this story was a Lee Magar of Magar. I hope I'm not saying that right. Magar Hat Works in Charleston, South Carolina, and I think when I saw the pictures of her and her collection of hats and her studio, I got incredibly inspired, and I thought if I'm ever gonna do this, I should do it now, because it was so incredibly inspiring to look at her work and her personality. And the beauty of that shoot, I have to say, is because it was very, very collaborative, and I knew that I wanted to do it with Jessica and a food stylist that we work with a lot, Allison Attenborough.
Oh yeah, I love Allison.
Who has such an amazing eye, and it was really, I think it was more pleasurable than I actually would have even imagined. I mean, I was obviously a little nervous about some things technically. Yeah. I mean, I think I knew that I knew what I wanted visually. That wasn't really, you know, but you never know. You know, it was pouring rain the first day where we were going to have our big table, and you just don't know what, you know, things like weather can throw in a bit of a curveball at you. So, but we did that together very much. You know, Allison and Jessica would set up the next shot, and I would shoot it, and we were playing, and it was just, I think it came out pretty good.
So, Jessica, was it interesting to see Frederica behind the lens, because it obviously changes her scope of vision, and how did that change your role with this shoot?
Well, you know, what made that shoot very successful was we had talked about, you know, the location and Lee's work extensively, and we had sort of storyboarded a bit with our creative director beforehand.
That was definitely very helpful.
Yeah.
You know, what we wanted to capture. And again, you know, a lot of this happens on location, but if you can prepare in a way and really take time to think about it, because the day of the shoot moves so fast, and you know, it's raining and you need to move the table inside.
That's like the most frightening thing for me, the whole weather bearing. Yeah. You know, when it becomes beautiful out and people want you to shoot, that you always have to be, you know, checking that meteorologist and making sure.
You have to have a plan B.
Yeah.
Plan B always.
And plan C, plan D. Yeah.
So, you know, although Fred was sort of, you know, she was behind the camera this time, we had shots, you know, sort of, and portraits and setups sort of in mind that we really wanted to capture. And I think that really helped to make the shoot go very well.
I'm assuming you didn't have to bring any extra hats for this one.
we were joking about it. I realized when we got up super early and sort of arrived, and then we started shooting right away. And after the end of that first day, I had planned, you know, as the director for myself, I had said, okay, so it's like five shots or something. And by the end of the day, I realized I've done 17 on that first day, which is insane. So I thought, you know, okay, when I'm just, at least I'm cracking the whip on myself just as much, so, you know.
Yeah, I mean, it must be hard to both curb your own enthusiasm as well as, you know, not be frightened that you didn't get enough. So, I mean, trying to find that balance.
I mean, you have a really good sense of what, it's, you know, what works for the magazine.
Yeah.
So that helps. And then you just know the extra stuff that you want to make sure that you get time to do.
Well, speaking of the magazine, sections like news and notes, where to go next, trends, the new one that I'm loving, the gastronaut files, well-being, you know, and even the last bite on the last page. How do all those sections differ from how you approach, you know, directing the photography and the style for them?
It's a little, it's harder sometimes because there's less real estate in terms of the how, you know, the food needs to just be sort of main focus on those stories. So in that sense, sometimes you don't have the same ability to tell a story. But I don't know if you have anything else to add.
I mean, you know, with some of the columns where it's very service oriented, you sort of have to step back and make it very sort of utilitarian and think about, you know, what the reader really wants out of each of these columns and, you know, sort of paring it back as much as possible, if that makes any sense.
No, it does. I mean, it's interesting that you say utilitarian because I think it is very much so. Show the product, show the process, show the plate. So it is the step-by-step effort of how to get what you want and make what you want.
We always try to, I mean, we all go in phases where we really want to challenge it though. So it's not like nothing really ever gets just sort of monotonized in a sense. It might look that way sometimes because it might look so similar that nobody knows the sort of process that's going, the thinking process that goes into it, or the frustrations or the sort of, you know, desire to want to change it.
If you got frustrations, you can vent.
No, I'm not saying a frustration. Just in terms of like, if something comes back and you're like, you know what, we need to push this. We need to make sure that this looks really interesting. Mm-hmm. And you know, I mean, there's constantly that kind of thinking from my point of view. That's I feel like that's part of my job, to never settle for something mediocre or okay, or, you know, it's just I have to always think about what can make it look better or more interesting or use, you know, just more serve, whatever, something that's going to be an experience for the reader.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just constant.
Well, like the word we use a lot, you know, in the office is sort of like hero shot or heroic. Like
you don't
want it to be so simple that it's just uninspired. Like, you want to bring that energy and inspiration to, you know, even if it seems like, you know, and you know this from shooting yourself, you know, the most simple shot, it's how to make it inspire.
Yeah,
and it's very challenging. It's
the hardest shot to get.
Very hard. Yeah.
And I think people laugh at me when I'm photographing and I say things like be more statuesque or be more stoic. Mm-hmm. But it is, though, when you see a statue, it's a canonized image of an embodiment of everything that they've done, and you have to capture that with one shot. Yeah, I mean, not to knock people that build statues, but I feel like they have a lot more time to make those than photographers have to capture, you know, that image sometimes.
Absolutely.
What I love about the whole, the food and the experience around food and what our magazine is about. It's the experience around it. What, you know, collect people together. It enriches decision making for, you know, what that day is going to be like. Maybe you're okay, my day is going to start with having a pot cooking.
Yeah.
I mean, it's all those ancillary things that goes into the actual dish. That's what I always want to capture.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not that it's always successful, but it's obviously easier to do on a well story.
Yeah. And speaking of inspiration, tell us about a couple of shoots. Foods, most specifically, recipes that you've come away with, or communities, or people that you've kept in contact with, which have really been resonant in your careers.
Well, from Fred's, I'm sure there's many, many. We just touched on two. That we've done recently that were incredibly inspiring.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think. I mean, you know, whenever we do get to spend any extensive amount of time with the subjects, you really you bond, you know.
Yeah.
Because, you know, and especially when they understand the process, you know, they're working with us to create this really exciting, moment. And you bond, especially when you're, you know, traveling to a far location.
And you were just recently with Tim Love in Texas.
Yeah. And that, you know, again, weather, the first day it was pouring rain. It was end of October. we were in Fort Worth, and it was pouring rain. So day one was sort of a wash. And then, you know, day two, we woke up really, really early, and miraculously, it was sunny and beautiful and looked like July.
Yeah.
Which was, you know, which was perfect. And, you know, they couldn't have been, you know, they were so hospitable and welcoming, and you know, and that's what makes it fun. We also, we did a shoot out in Venice Beach in California, with a nightclub, owner. The artist studio, Sid Moses. And shot at his father's studio. Ed Moses is a pretty famous artist.
Really fantastic.
And, you know, we had no idea what we were walking into, but, you know, he opened up his studio and, you know, and here we are, and we're shooting a food and cocktail story, and we're surrounded by, you know, all of his amazing works of art. And, you know, that's inspiring.
Yeah, that was actually great.
It's probably hard not to be awestruck. But what food, what recipes have you come away with from shoots that you just make every day that are like instilled in your repertoire now?
I mean, the funny thing is, like, I'm a little focused on what I just did, but I do like the butter bean recipe or baby lima bean, whatever, within the buttermilk dressing. Yeah. That's coming out in September issue. I did it before the shoot. I do it very often now. I mean, it changes, but, that's one thing that comes to mind.
Yeah, I mean, I would say also, especially when we're at a farm or we're somewhere where the ingredients are so inspiring, and then we see the recipes come to life in a way that they can't when we do test them in the office. You know, the test kitchen tests the recipes. You know, sometimes it's not particularly in season, or they're testing them to the best of their ability in the office, and then you get to the location and the ingredients they have there, it's the real deal.
Yeah.
So, you know, the food certainly sings in a way that is amazing.
So I think a good lesson here is actually travel to the well stories, to the features, to, you know, experience it in its place and in its time. And I mean, as much as I'm sure you want your readers to do the recipes at home, there's something that is, you know, paramount when you're, you know, traveling to meet the chef or be at the restaurant or be on the farm. So yeah, get out there and enjoy these things. Speaking of food, Frederica, your Swedish background, does that, or even design aesthetic, does that ever come into play in shoots?
Oh yeah, yeah. I think so, definitely. You know, my work ethics, I'm just kidding. No, I'm just kidding. But it's, you know, Swedes are very, and food-wise, they're very, it's all about smoked fish. It's all about it's simple
kinda,
ingredients.
Kind of convenient that we're actually sponsored by Acme Smoked Fish today. Yeah.
I think that's very influential in many ways. I mean, it's also, there's a way of, the Swedish design sense that's very simplistic and pared down. I think that is part of my sort of natural eye.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Have you done any recent Swedish stories, Scandinavian stories?
It's been a while, actually, that we've, you know, we've done a story a few years ago with Marcus Samuelsson.
Yeah.
But that wasn't in Sweden.
Yeah.
So it's about time.
You did a story in Copenhagen, right?
We did, something where we mentioned Noma. Yeah. I mean, there was a restaurant roundup, I think.
Yeah. So
when you did the Marcel Wanders.
Oh, that was Amsterdam.
Sorry, Amsterdam.
Yeah, Marcel Wanders.
That just over the sea, you know.
Just well, it's a close simple enough.
John. Yeah, close enough. Are there any future shoots, locations that you guys are very excited about, you know, visiting, shooting, enjoying, styling?
We have to kind of get, you know, it's like you finish a huge slew of shoots, and then now we're about to start planning the next couple of months.
New cycle.
Yeah.
Yeah, new cycle. So I know that there's a few things, there's a few stories for next year. I probably shouldn't be saying them, what they are. Yeah. But we're looking into that, but it's not, you know, organized
yet. So, I mean, you do like a 3-month section of planning, shooting, and then move on to your next 3-month section
after
that's all done.
We always work on 3 issues at a time. I mean, it's like the one we're planning, the one we're shooting, and the one we're closing.
Yeah,
basically. And and then we do shoots for next year.
Yeah.
So future shoots.
Wonderful. And Jessica, before we wrap up, I just really want to get a covet list from you, because I mean, you mentioned heat design.
Yeah.
What of this stuff do you really, really want? Do you own, and do you think all people should have?
Of Heath in particular?
No, or? Just across the board.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, you know, the great part about my job is, you know, the shopping and seeing what's out there. And the other thing is when we go on location, visiting the shops and seeing what, you know, what's new. And yeah, I definitely covet, you know, I covet, and then I probably shop too much for myself.
Yeah.
You know, Royal Copenhagen, you know, a lot of the Scandinavian lines is, you know, that's why I love working with her, yeah, because she really understands that, you know, the Scandinavian, the simplicity of a lot of those pieces, the white, the, you know, the blonde wood with food, you know, the simpler, the better. And, you know, even dark colors with food are really incredible. You know, the Calvin Klein range is amazing because they have, you know, range of very sort of smoky grays and blue and it's just inspiring and looks amazing with food. So if you want to use that at home, your food is going to really sing.
I do want to use that at home. And you can go to foodandwine.com or check out Food & Wine magazine for a whole bunch of recipes and other things to covet. I just wanted to thank Jessica and Frederica so much for being on.
Thanks for having us.
We're going to go have some pizza and salad right now because I'm absolutely starving. But you've been listening to The Food Scene on Heritage Radio Network. I'm Michael Harlan Turkel. I want to thank our sponsor, Acme Smoked Fish, again. Our producer, Jack Inslee, engineer, Nat Wiener. Hope you tune in next Tuesday at 3 p.m. Ciao.